Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I was trying to come up. There are so many things in this, especially when we get into James. You know, the epistle lesson, which I really like. And then we have Jesus healing. You know, remember the story of the church that was looking for a pastor, and while they were having worship, a shabby guy came in, hadn't bathed, old clothes, that kind of thing. I've told you this story before. And he came in and sat down, and the people are looking at him. Board of elders finally goes over, says to him, "All right, you need to leave. This is not the place for you." So the guy does, head hanging down. And so he comes back in a few minutes later, walks up to the front of the church and says, "Good morning, I'm your new pastor." There's a movie that Kelsey Grammer was just in that actually was the story of that. But that one is sort of old hat. But as I was doing research for this, I ran into something that just blew my mind. And the thing is, how do we do things in God's service and know what's correct? Okay? And as we've talked about, how do we stand up for God? Because isn't that what really is important right now? You know, and it's a lot of this stuff that we deal with. I'm pulling out what I'm going to read to you today. This is a story that I was impressed with. But as we talk about this, are all of us prepared to witness and to stand up for God? That's a little tough, isn't it? Okay, well, what do they think? Oh, I can't do that. I don't know how many times I've heard that. This is a true story from the 1880s. A couple of years ago. And when we get done with this, I want you to try and figure out who is witnessing. This is probably the best answer I've ever heard to the question, why did God create evil? Why did God create evil? Ooh, this answer struck me to the core of my soul. A professor at a university asked the students the following question. Everything that exists was created by God? Did God create? The professor asked. Well, yes, sir, replied the student. Professor asked, well, if God created everything, then God created evil. Since it exists, and according to the principle that our deeds define ourselves, then God is evil. Can't you hear a professor saying that? Now, I've got to remember, this is 150 years ago. Are things any different? No. The student became silent after hearing such an answer. Professor was very pleased with himself. He boasted the students for proving once again that faith in God is a myth. Well, another student raised his hand and said, "Can I ask you a question?" "Of course," replied the professor. He got out of his chair and asked, "Professor, is cold a thing?" What kind of question is that? Of course it exists. Have you ever been cold? Students laughed at the young man's question. So the young man answered, "Actually, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is actually the absence of heat. A person or object can be studied on whether it has or transmits energy." You can tell this is a science class, can't you? Absolute zero, which is negative 460 degrees Fahrenheit, is a complete absence of all heat. All matter becomes inert and unable to react at this temperature. Therefore, cold does not exist. We created this word to describe what we feel in the absence of heat. Pretty smart answer, isn't it? So the student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" See where this is going? "Well, of course it exists." "Ah, you're wrong again, Professor. Darkness does not exist. Darkness is actually the absence of light. We can study light, but not the darkness. We can use Newton's prism to spread white light across multiple colors." Remember that when you were in school? You could look through it and you can see everything split. "And explore the different wavelengths of each color. You can't measure darkness, but a single ray of light can break into the world of darkness and illuminate it. And how can you tell how dark a certain space is? You can measure how much light is presented, isn't it so? Darkness is a term man uses to describe the absence of light." Well, in the end, the young man asked the professor, "So, Professor, does evil exist?" Just turned the tables on him, didn't he? This time it was uncertain, the professor answered. "Well, of course, as I said before, we see him every day, cruelty, numerous crimes, and violence throughout the world. These are examples of nothing but a manifestation of evil." To this, the student answered, "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist for itself. Evil is simply absence of God. It is like the darkness and the cold, a man-made word to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is not faith, and it is not love, which exists as light and warmth. Evil is the result, now listen to this, of the absence of divine love in the human heart." I'm going to read that one again. "The absence of divine love in the human heart. It's the kind of cold that comes where there is no heat, or the kind of darkness that comes when there's no light." I think the professor did. Who was the student? Science class, 1880. No? Albert Einstein. And in his theory of relativity, there has to be, mathematics show a creator. Handel, a professor, said there is. When I am wondering about how are we to hear and speak in his service. Is that a great example of how to hear and speak in his service? I think so. Go back to James. Pull up James 2 with me, and we're going to start in verse 5. listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world of the rich? Now, before I go on and finish this, what about pastors or people in service of God? Many are called, but few are chosen. Has God not chosen those? My friends, you are all chosen and called. Ooh, boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? I like the look on Linda's face right now. You're kidding me, right? No. But it's true, isn't it? Aren't we all called and chosen by God in His service? Okay, let's go on and see what else he has to say. Those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Are we rich in faith and heirs of the divine kingdom? Sure we are. Which he has promised to those who love him, but you have dishonored the poor man. You know, many times we look at somebody who is really in, who has halitosis, they smell funny, they need a bath, okay, haven't brushed their teeth in months. And I'm going to use Pat as an example right now. No, I'm not using Pat as being part of that, but Pat volunteers that Jesus... Hold on, I got to blow my nose again. I can't breathe. Okay. Pat volunteers at Jesus Loves You Ministries. How many times do you run into people like that as part of your service? All the time, probably. Okay. But somebody's got to take care of these people, right? What a blessing. No. And many of them are veterans. They gave all, but after coming back, they didn't fit into society anymore. I was going to use an example by Denise today in my sermon, but I'm going to keep her off the spot. You know, there was a hat I saw the other day that you can buy. It says, "Pastor, anything you say or do might end up in Sunday sermon." And so if people say things to me, many times they do end up here. Yeah. But it's because our life deals with real people, real issues. So what's our real issue here? You got to take people where they are. Am I right? Is that easy to do sometimes? But what is the thing that we're all guilty of doing? Judging. What does Paul say? Judge not, lest you too be judged. Well, the thing is, from day one, we have been judged on everything, and we've been trained to judge. Am I right? So how do we not judge? Well, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit talks to us. Some of us are very lucky, can actually hear Him talk to us in words. Most of us cannot. But when you're trying to do something, how do we know He's there? Not only how you feel, but all of a sudden it seems like everything is closing off, isn't it? You can't get to what you want to do. There's things in the way. What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you? Don't do that. Am I right? Pope John the 23rd, Vatican II. And this is one of the greatest statements I've ever heard. When God closes a door, He opens a window. That is so basic a truth that I think sometimes we forget what it is. But if we can't go this way, all of a sudden we see that the direction over here is open, isn't it? What's the Holy Spirit saying? I want you should listen to me and do this, not this. But then our human will stands in the way, doesn't it? Well, that's not easy, is it? But I want. No, it's not what we want. It's what God wants. And I can tell you right now, I have trouble with that. You know, turn it all over to God. Partly it's because I was a band director for so many years, and make it work, make it happen, get it done. Well, it isn't always the solution, is it? But as we run into things, we try and do what is best in His service. So, as you look at the name of my sermon, how are we to hear and speak in His service? All right, we've got 20 of us here today. Be nice if we had 40 of us here today. How are we to hear and speak in His service? We know God wants us to go out and talk to people. Gene, can I use you an example? We're at Walmart. That's my favorite place to do this. Hey, Gene, can I help you with that? He's putting groceries into the car. But, you know, I wouldn't say his name, but I said, let me help you. So I usually help. And said, hi, I'm Pastor Steve. If you didn't notice that, it says it in my shirt, okay? And then we talk. I said, you go to church? Yeah, where do you go? You know, let's say I go to the Methodist church over here. Oh, good. Do you go? Well, not really. How come? What's keeping you from going to church? And then I shut up. I have had so many people try and witness to me, and all they do is talk. What's more important? To listen. Okay? Get the other person. I mean, usually if you ask, they'll tell you. What's keeping you from going to church? Oh, and I hear this a lot. Oh, somebody was really mean to me, and I just don't want anything to do with that. I said, you mean you don't want anything to do with God? Oh, no, I talk to God every week. I can do it from home. Okay? Well, you know that Paul says that we need the fellowship of all believers in our lives. The fellowship of all believers. Folks, we got a nice family here, don't we? Okay, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So fellowship of all believers. In Greek, the word is koinonia. And it's a deeper than that. Koinonia means fellowship and family. If any of us need anything, would we be there for each other? Of course. Don't you do that for family? I think so too. So, when we listen to the Holy Spirit talk to us, you don't have to know anything about theology. Remember, I've talked to you about Pastor Coley in Africa, Cotton Tree, Liberia. He's got a huge church, about 350 people. Every time he gets up to around 350, he splits off 100, starts a new church. He's done that 10 times. So he started 10 Lutheran churches. He has a confirmation class every week of about 30 adults. You know where they're coming from? Ancestor worship, animal worship, and Muslims who are coming in and becoming Christian. Do you know who his best... I asked him one time, I said, James, how do you do this? He said, I'm not doing it. He says, my people get so excited about Jesus, they go out and talk to people about Jesus. I said, what do they say? They said, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. They don't know anything about theology, but they know somebody loves them. Is that something you could do? See what I'm getting at on this? Many times we feel we have to put up all these barriers that we jump. It's like a hurdle race. Every time you take a step, you got to jump a hurdle. And then take a step, jump a hurdle. Is that God-made or man-made? Man. We're afraid of rejection. One of the things I learned in sales is that usually you're rejected 5 or 6 times before you get the sale. So every time you're rejected, you're one step closer to getting the person to do what's best for them. what I usually say, listen, great church. It's Our Savior's Lutheran Church. I don't care what denomination you belong to. Our church is half Roman Catholic. It's got non-denominational Baptist Assemblies of God. And we actually do have a few Lutherans. So I said, come try it. If you like it, you found a home. You don't like it, you give an hour to God. What is there to lose? Okay. But the thing is, it's like the parable of the sower. How many of them have come? Two or three, and that's it. But that's okay. Because if they don't end up coming here, they might end up going someplace else. And the important thing is to go to church. But that's what your witness does. And I think that's something that all of us could do. My friends, may this service to our Lord Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds on His love. In Jesus' name. Amen.